Hey, everybody, welcome to the Morphin Grid. I'm Jake.
I am Josh.
And today, we're on hiatus from the Morphin Grid proper. So we're doing a bonus episode. And seeing as I was on their podcast, we decided to invite Matt J of the Super Sentai Bros on to help us with this episode. Matt, how are you doing?
I'm doing real well. How are you guys today?
Real good.
Pretty good.
Pretty good.
Thanks for having me on the show.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for being on the show. I had a ton of fun on the Super Sentai Bros. So
it was really great having you on. It was a great episode.
I thought it went really well. I was nervous, and it didn't come across as much as I thought it was.
I haven't heard it.
That's fair. At least you're on brand with that.
That was great. A giant robot picked up a casino.
And just ever so slightly tilted it.
Just very slightly to the left.
Is that the same casino that was in episode 2?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't believe so. Guy hangs out in a lot of casinos.
He hangs out in a lot of seedy places, yeah. I imagine.
What we're doing today is we're going to be talking about, or I guess trying to turn Jetman into a Power Rangers show. If that's where this podcast ends, then good for us. If not...
I'll be very proud of us.
Same, because I have some ideas, but other than that, I'm like, I don't know. It's just like Power Rangers, but like bird themed.
I have some questions.
Oh, well, I have now, as of last night, finally finished the entire series of Jetman, so I might actually have answers.
All right.
So before we jump let's into
just,
that...
Before we jump into that...
Okay.
Let's just throw up a spoilers tag for Jetman right now.
Just in case.
Oh, yeah, because, like, there's some crazy stuff that happens in Jetman.
Yeah, I've only seen the first two episodes in preparation for today, and I already have at least one probably main plotline question to ask, so...
All right.
So now that we've done the before we get into it, the regular before we get into it, why don't you tell us a little bit about your podcast, The Super Sentai Bros?
Okay,
or Super Sentai Brothers. It's Super Sentai Bros on Twitter, so my brain has been like, that's the file that we're going to take from every time.
Oh, yeah, because Super Sentai Brothers would be a much too long Twitter handle.
Right.
Like, it would take up too many characters. Although, I will say that whenever I look at my Twitter handle and it just says Super Sentai Bros, I feel like it gives, like, a real bro-y vibe. Which is, like, totally not what I want, but it only occurred to me after the show started, and so now that's what it is forever.
We watch Super Sentai, brah.
Hey, brah.
It doesn't come off that way at all in the show, so if anyone is worried about that, don't.
Oh, because, so the show is, it's actual brothers. It's me and my brother Dave, and we do the same thing that you guys do with the Morphin Grid, but we're doing it with the Super Sentai shows. So the first season, we went through Gosei Sentai Die Ranger, which is beautiful, and it's on DVD now.
Yes.
The second season, we actually went back 2 years from Die Ranger, and we're going through Chojin Sentai Jetman, which is the show that came out the year before Zhu Ranger, which is the show that became Mighty Morphin.
Yes.
First season.
Okay. And Die Ranger is what the horrible, horrible second season of Power Rangers chopped to pieces.
That's what the Zord fights are vaguely pulled from.
Just did some bad things to Die Ranger.
It's such a shame, too, because there's so much good stuff in Die Ranger. The only reason I can think why they didn't just change the costumes, other than, like, merchandising...
That's the number one reason.
Yeah.
Is that, like, Kazu's a real tall dude, and he was the Yellow Ranger in Die Ranger. And so they wouldn't have been able to, like, really make it work with either Trini or Aisha. Like,
Aisha
as that same person.
Karen Ashley is not a tall person.
No, she's real short.
It would have been, like, a foot differential, and, like, that just will not work.
Yeah, and also, like, at that point, because they changed with Zio. Like, they finally, once they got to Zio, they finally just started, like, changing with whatever Sentai they were using. But for those first 3 years, you can tell they were like, no, kids love these suits.
Right.
Kids identify
with
them.
I loved those suits. I stopped watching when those suits went away. Like, I had kind of stopped watching prior to that, like, sort of petered off over the seasons. But as soon as I saw there were new costumes and that there was a Green Ranger in Zio, but it wasn't Tommy.
That was too much. That was enough.
I was like, why? No, like, Tommy was originally the Green Ranger. He lost his green power and had to go white. Now there's another green option available. Why wouldn't you give it to Tommy? This is absurd. And for whatever reason, that was the moment that I gave up on Power Rangers for like a decade.
I feel like that happened to a lot of people because there's a steep drop off with Zio.
No, I dropped out before Zio because I have no recollection of Alien Rangers until the first time I watched.
I wish I could go back and have no recollection of Alien Rangers.
So I don't even know. I don't even know if I made it to season three because I think I'd already stopped watching the show by the time the movie came out.
Okay, and that was in between the two.
Yeah, my recollection of those seasons is so weak that I thought Cat was English. Because, like, I just remember, like, oh, there's a new girl, and she has an accent. And, like, the only accent that I know is English. And so, well, of course, that's who this person is.
Sure.
Sometimes I try to do a British accent to be funny, and it comes out Australian. Or vice versa.
One time you tried to do everyone talking at once, and it came out as, like, a really bad chimney sweep.
It came out as, I figured out what it was. It was Jonah Hill from Forgetting Sarah Marshall making fun of Russell Brand's accent.
That's the voice.
I did.
But you did, that's very specific, but you did it perfectly.
Yeah. So now that we know what the Super Sentai Brothers is about, can you give us a little rundown of Jetman? Like, give us the elevator pitch for Jetman.
Okay, so Jetman is the 1991 Sentai series. The team is, okay, so there's the Red Ranger, Red Hawk, who was a super cop who got, like, brought into the JET program. And the JET program was that they were going to zap five people with a machine that would imbue their bodies with Birdonic energy, which is, like, the energy of birds, obviously.
Obviously, yeah.
Birdonic is my favorite made-up word. It's awesome.
It's great.
Dude, if you love Birdonic, wait until you get, like, three quarters of the way to the show when you find a meteor that emits anti-Birdonic waves. So they're just starting the process of getting the JET program going, and they're attacked by an interdimensional invasion force called the Vyrum. The Vyrum, in their attack, destroy the energy the machine that was putting out the Birdonic waves. And so instead of being able to get five, like, super soldiers, you got one super soldier, Ryu, Red Hawk, and then you got the other four Rangers are just total randos that get zapped by the explosion of this machine. Like, pink and purple and blue and yellow lightning bolts, like, flash down to Earth, zap five randos, or four randos. And so the show is a super soldier, like a scoundrel gambler, a simple farmer, high school girl and, like, a high class lady all working together in this super, like, government organization that is dedicated to fighting off this interdimensional invasion force. That's longer than an elevator pitch because I literally don't know how to condense it any further than that.
I don't think you can get any Sentai explanation down any shorter than that. So I think you did a great job.
From watching the first two episodes, it is the most ragtag group of people.
Oh, yeah, I love it.
That they could have thrown together. It's awesome.
Oh, it's so great because, like, four of them. I mean, Guy knows. Okay, so it's Ryu is the soldier. Guy is the gambler. Raita is the farmer. Akko is the high school girl. And Kaori is the fine lady, right? So Guy knows how to fight, but he's not, like, a kung fu master. He's just, like, a guy who knows how to fight because he hangs out in bars all the time.
Yeah.
He was kind of like a space cop, right?
No, that's Ryu.
That's who I'm thinking of. Okay. No, we're talking about Guy, who's just, like, brutal.
Guy just wears silk shirts and leather gloves and his cool blazer, and he rides around on a motorcycle.
And plays a saxophone. And your classic cool guy tropes.
Right.
He drinks whiskey. He smokes cigarettes. He smokes cigarettes on this children's show, like,
he does
all the time.
He says my favorite new phrase that I need to start saying to people who tick me off, and that's, you're making my ass itch.
He's like, so Guy, because I've listened to every episode of Super Sentai Brothers, so I know what happens beyond just the episodes I have seen. There are some points where Guy is, like, straight up gross. Like, he is just like a gross misogynist, and it's terrible. And then there are other times where you're
absolutely,
like, where you're like, yeah, this guy is the perfect foil. Like, this guy totally works as not Ryu.
Oh, he's the best. And I feel like he is the dude who throughout the course of the show has, like, the full character arc, which is why it's okay that he's such, like, a gross jerk partial, like, early on in the show. Like, it's not like the things he is doing is not okay. But, like, he has a good arc from those things into being, like, a cool dude.
In the first Morph fight, in the second episode, when all five of them come together for the first time, He grabs a Mook by the junk and headbutts the crap out of them.
That was brutal. Yes,
and I was like, that guy's my favorite.
I think my favorite, and I know she doesn't get a lot of screen time later on. Like, at the point where you guys are in the show, there's, like, Akko is just nowhere, basically.
She's
like,
the Atom?
Essentially, she's the Atom. But she might be.
She really is.
I think she's my second favorite character. My favorite character is not actually one of the Jetmen. It's the Chief, who is the best.
Oh, dude, the Chief is so great. The Chief is their, like, mentor Zordon character. But instead of being, like, a dumb old head in the tube that's always trying to get them killed, she is just, like, this hard-as-nails military commander who is, like, always rushing into danger even though she doesn't have any superpowers and just shooting people with laser guns.
She has a jet.
Oh, yeah.
Because it turns... Well, she did. It turns into a monster in the second episode.
Yeah, and then they destroy it. She doesn't have a jet. There's a point where she comes in one of their Zords. Like, she is the cavalry by herself in one of their Zords. And it's amazing.
It's so good. That actually happens again later on in the series, at a point we haven't gotten to yet. It's so exciting. It's always exciting whenever Chief does anything. And yeah. She has this great, like, insane smile of just like, oh no, you done messed up now. Yeah. Because now I'm here.
You made me take my hoops out. It's on. So I like Akko a lot. She's my favorite Jetman because in her first appearance, like in like the when she shows up, she has these bird powers so she can jump real high. Because they get kind of poorly defined extra powers.
They get
from
super
the Bardonic energy, right?
Yeah, so like even when they're not transformed, they're still like super strong and super jumpy.
Because the beam, like, because the Chief said, I think in the first episode, this will turn you into Jetman. You will become a Jetman with this.
You will become
beam.
Jetman.
And while Ryu is, I guess, becoming a Jetman, and his girlfriend's freaking out because he's in a lot of pain because it's changing his bones and muscle structure, I guess.
Oh, and yeah, there's this whole thing, like, you're seeing, like, his visions that he's having as it's happening, and you're just seeing, like, this big montage of birds flash up on the screen because he's turning into a bird person. Yeah.
It's like birds, the moon,
so it's
red, the color red.
So it's hollowing out his bones, then.
Yes.
Maybe just turns him into a long shot? I don't know, man.
Who knows?
But Guy can punch real hard.
And Raita is super strong, as like as it shows later, because his favorite thing, like his mode of attacking, is he summons a boulder from the aether and smashes people with it.
Yeah, like there are parts in the show where very clearly, like there's a camera cut and Raita is standing in a place where there are zero boulders. And in one camera cut, he does not have one. And in the next one, he's beating someone on the head with a rock the size of his own torso. It's like, I guess you can just make those.
That's part of your Bardonic energy.
Shoulders.
But Akko can jump real high. That's like at least the only one she's shown to in the first two episodes. And so she first extorts her coach.
Yes.
She has shown.
I want to bring the number up because this is important. She extorts the coach who wants her on the jump team.
The high jump track team.
She says, for 2,000 yen, I'll do it. I'll break the world record
Which
for
is like
you.
$20.
Right. Now.
Yeah.
Back then, who knows?
Who knows?
Right. At some point, we actually did run the numbers on this. Because it happens occasionally that Akko is like trying to extort people or like get money for things. It's kind of a recurring thing throughout the show. So, like, Akko is very greedy, sort of, but she's also really terrible at being greedy because she always, like, really undercuts the price.
Yeah. Well, because she's like, give me $20 and I will set a world record. That's, I guess it's a fair price to set a world record, $20.
I mean, it doesn't cost her anything.
And so she does it. She's like, and there's a scene where she's like, no, keep raising the bar up, like, all the way.
They raise it all the way.
And she just, like, hops over it like nothing happened.
She does, like, a corkscrew 1080 over that thing.
She does a...
She jumps, the first one she jumps when she is showing everybody, or like just showing her friend, like, look what I can do, I guess.
She just sees it and she goes, I can jump that high.
Yeah. She jumps vertically over it. Like she doesn't...
Oh yeah, she doesn't do like the flippy floppy jump.
Yeah.
She just jumps over it as though you were jumping over like a skip it.
Yeah, exactly.
So she lands, that's when... This is like a brief recap of the episodes. That we watch. So she lands, then they pull up to be like, hey, you have Bardonic energy, you're a Jetman. And she's like, yeah, I'll do it for $15.
Yes, for 1,500 yen. I will save the world for less than jumping high.
Well, I mean, she's not setting a world record or
and
anything.
And then Jet Pink, whose name I can't.
Cowrie.
Writes her a check for 10 million yen and says, here you go. Be one of us, please.
That is the ballerest move in the episodes.
Dude, every once in a while, Cowrie like really brings it and she's the best. I mean, they're all the best.
Yeah.
But they're all the best in their own special, unique, beautiful ways.
Like, Raita, to like give his character a little context, like, he's like, oh, no, I'm a farmer. Leave me alone to do my farming.
He gets mad at them.
And then, like, some of the bad guys, they're called Grinnum soldiers?
The Grinnum soldiers, yeah. Those are the putties.
They start attacking, and they trample his crops, and he's like, no, that is enough.
He beats him up with a rake.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I was willing to let this whole world burn, but you stepped on my cucumbers, and so now it is on.
So that is literally, he says, unforgivable.
Well, this, they all got there. I think it was Ryu, the chief, Cowrie, and that was it, because that's all we had so far.
Yeah, they pull up to right.
They were all there, and they could not convince him. So then Cowrie is like, let me stay, I'll convince him. So the chief and Ryu leave, and then Cowrie's just like, oh my god, these cucumbers are so good. These are like the best.
He's like, I'll be a jet man.
All right. You got me.
Because then they get Guy, who refuses the call twice, I think.
Guy's like Sunfire from the X-Men, in that he just quits that team like it's 5 or 6 times throughout the series. Like, he refuses to join, and then every possible opportunity, he's like, okay, I'm done with this. I'm out. See you never.
Ryu and the chief show up in the back alley.
He plays the saxophone in this jazz club. And right. Like,
is that the time that he plays the saxophone so hard that he bends it in half?
He plays it too much.
This was when I tweeted more like sweat man, because Ryu and Guy are just sweating all the time.
It's a process becoming a bird boy. It takes a lot out of you.
So they show up in the alley and they're like, hey, do you want to be a jet man? And Guy just starts fighting Ryu. They get into like a brawl in the back alley over it.
Which is great, because on the one hand, you're like, Ryu, you're a trained soldier. You got this. But on the other hand, he's like, I can't beat him up, because then he'll definitely not join if I embarrass him. So he's got to skate that line.
I need to defend myself and like convince this dude that I'm someone who deserves his respect. But if I just like, you know, super karate punch this guy, we are never going to be friends.
Yeah, there's a point, because Guy's like leaving with some like girl there. Oh yeah, because he plays poker and he wins and is like, you can keep all the money if you leave with me, whatever that is intended to be, children, just kind of fill in the blanks.
This is no more of a kid's show than something like Star Trek was, I think. It feels very much similar watching it to me, but more exciting.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff in this show that like is not what would make it on into an American kids show, which I
absolutely
guess...
Absolutely not. Because it was heavily implied that he was taking that lady back to hotel, right?
Yeah. Like,
oh, yeah. Or at least, you know, at least to a second location.
To his seedy studio apartment.
Or just, like, to the alley, and then they got interrupted. Like, I wouldn't put it past Guy, which is...
You know, the weird thing is, like, aside from Raita and Cowrie, I don't think we ever see where any of these people live, which led me to assume eventually that Guy just, like, lives at this bar. Because, it's the only place you ever see him. Like, that is, when you go to, like, a scene that is a Guy scene and he has his own set, like, you go and meet him at the bar.
Yeah, and Ryu probably just moved into Sky Camp.
Yeah, because he lived on Earthship.
Yeah.
So...
All he's ever wanted in his life is to live in a barracks.
Yes.
That is his, like, truest goal in this world.
Well, he gets it eventually. Good for him. Proud of you, Ryu.
Doing it. You're making it happen.
My major question, I guess, for the plot line is there a sixth ranger in Jetman?
No, there isn't.
Okay, so follow-up question to that. Is Ryu's girlfriend really dead, or does she come back?
Ryu's girlfriend is actually Maria. The fourth Byron commander.
The princess Toadstool at the end.
Yeah, that. Well, I thought it was more like a giant Absol head.
A little bit.
It was weird when she came in, because they all had like vaguely generic names like Gray and Tran, and then her name is just Maria.
And Radigant.
Which is weird, because Maria is not her, like, that is a human name. That is not her human name.
No.
Her human name is Rie.
Which I feel like if you're a native Japanese speaker, like the gap between the two is much shorter than like to our ears.
Oh yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Rie and Maria.
Okay.
Yeah,
I just didn't put it together. I guess
that like, did not occur to me at all.
If I didn't know it from listening to your show, I would not have picked that because she does not look the same. Because she's like her makeup is all different. She's like much more like. It, like poised and everything, and
she's got really good posture, you know, like evil people.
Like evil people
do.
Yeah,
evil posture. so either like super hunched over or super straight.
Yeah. So the bad guys. Now that we're here, let's talk about them. There's the four bad guys, the four main Vyrum commanders.
Yeah.
See,
so,
I thought the big guy who first showed up as a hologram in the sky. I thought that was Vyrum. So, but Vyrum is the name of the group.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Vyrum is the name of the group. That dude's name is Radicate.
Okay.
He's a blue.
Radicate.
He's a blue man.
He's a blue man. He's very good at percussion.
Yes.
He's always laughing, and his laughing face makes me very uncomfortable.
He's got a weird like headdress helmet, and sometimes he turns into like a bat person.
Yeah, that happened in the second episode, or in the sixth episode, and it
wasn't
was crazy.
The second episode.
Yeah.
Yeah, every once in a while, that dude will just turn into, like, a crazy bat monster, and it, like, it doesn't seem to be any more effective than his not-crazy bat monster form.
It's just, like, out of control. Like, he just doesn't have control of himself, so he's a bat monster sometimes.
Yeah, so we've got him, we've got Maria, who we mentioned, who is the... So, Ryu, the Red Ranger... His girlfriend, they were both super cops together, and they were both being brought into the JET program. In the first episode, as Earth is being attacked and everything is exploding in their like spaceship where they were doing the Bradonic stuff, there is a hole that gets blown in the side of that space station, and Rie gets sucked out into the cold vacuum of space, presumably dead forever. Which is a real bummer of a first episode.
Yeah, the chief even says to Ryu, she's dead.
Right, like, she is dead. We need to go right now. Yeah, like, put your pants on.
Because he
We're
won't
moving.
Go. He won't go. So she socks Ryu in the gut and drags him
and
out of there.
And knocks him out. Okay, so recently on the show, you and Dave were talking about how Guy can hit women in the stomach and it knocks them out.
Yes. And he's like, done it like five times.
The chief does that to Ryu because she straight up knocks him out with a punch to the gut. So, like, yeah. Guy must have learned from watching her or something.
Maybe. She does teach them all how to fight in the beginning. There's a couple of episodes where she is, like, trying to train them to not just be, like, jerk farmers.
Right. yeah, she is, as your brother Dave is so fond of saying, cold as a coffin nail. And he's like,
absolutely.
She literally is like, your girlfriend's dead. Get your jacket. We're leaving right. this blowing up space station.
After he wakes up from being socked in the gut, he's like, I need to save Rie. And she slaps him and like, no, she died in space.
Get over it. Oh, my
we
God.
Have to find the other Jetman.
Remember that woman you love that you just proposed to? She's dead. She's so dead.
so great. So, I love the chief so much.
So the third one is Transa. I'm sorry, Tran. Tran becomes Transa later in the show in a way that I could explain to you if you want, or you can just sort of let that mystery float.
Yeah, let's let that stew.
Here's how I think I can parse it out in like a sentence. Okay. He activates puberty because he's mad that he's a kid.
Yeah, he gets so mad and he just shouts at himself in a cave and grows like 15 years.
Until he turns into an adult.
What?
Jetman, dude.
Super Sentai. But he's like a 12-year-old with like some cool kid vid, visor.
Is kid vid from the Burger King Kids Club?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. He's also got like a Nintendo Power Glove with a bunch of buttons on it that he uses to do like remote controlling things. Tran is kind of boring in the early part of the show. When he becomes Transa later on in the show, he gets really great, partially because he gets replaced by an actor who I really loved from Die Ranger. But that's kind of not related to this show. It's just a thing that I love, and I wanted to
right.
share that joy
yeah.
with you. And then the fourth one is Gray, and Gray is a robot. And Gray is maybe my favorite of the Vyrum commanders.
Okay, Gray is a robot.
Mm-hmm.
In the second episode, that dude was definitely smoking and drinking.
Yes.
Oh, dude, that guy smokes and drinks all the time. He is a robot who, like, really is trying to be a classy human. So he's always like smoking cigars and drinking wine and like trying to learn music.
It's, I feel like he's got this weird like 1940s movie idea of what a classy gentleman is.
Yeah, he's trying to be Humphrey Bogart.
Yeah, for sure.
I like if Humphrey Bogart was like a robot from another dimension who was bent on murdering all of humanity.
Yeah. So basically Humphrey Bogart.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. Almost, we all saw Casablanca.
Oh, yeah, we did. Almost no difference from Rick in Casablanca. Gray might also be my favorite because the episode that I watched for your show was very Gray-centric. And, like, he has, like, the biggest, plot hole that is built into his programming. And that, like, he can look at a roulette wheel and be like, all right, it's spinning this fast. The ball's going this fast. It's going to land on this number exactly. But he can't tell that a giant robot has lifted up the whole casino and tilted it a little bit.
Okay, no, but listen. The robot that did that is bigger than Gray is. Right. And in the Super Sentai universe, a bigger robot always trumps a smaller robot.
It's got more power.
No matter what is happening.
It does have more power. And then there, I don't think there's anybody else, right? Because there's like an empress that gets killed off at some point. And then there's
she's more of just like a two-parter monster of the week. She does not end up being like super important.
And there's like a demon baby at some point.
Is there a demon baby?
That's like an egg or it's like a demon dog.
Are you thinking of O-Ranger?
No.
Are you thinking of a Zoo Ranger?
I could have
sworn.
There's
definitely a demon baby in Zoo Ranger.
I could have sworn that Radegate was like, yes, I will use this baby to destroy the Jetmen.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
So
what was his name?
I'm not even going to pretend to remember. I got demon baby. I'm proud of that.
He was like a weird bug demon monster.
Quick question. Is the plural of Jetman, Jetman or Jetmen? Because they've said both in the two episodes that I watched.
I usually say Jetmen, but okay. I'm guessing.
Because the chief definitely referred to the five of them as Jetman. But Kaori, when they first meet her, says, you want me to be a gentleman? And then when they're fighting, she refers to all of them as Jetmen.
I think what it is it's a...
So I don't know if Jetmen is just her still being wrong.
I think it's like a deer situation, but like a little weirder.
Or so... if it maybe... was a bad subtitle because there were a couple bad subtitles.
It could easily have been a bad subtitle. I think the way I'm guessing is that one Jetman is a Jetman.
Right.
The plural noun of it is Jetmen, but the team is Jetman.
Okay.
Yeah, the collective noun is that's
so,
Jetman of Jetman.
So, like,
yes.
Like there
so
are
Jetman, Jetman is made up of Jetmen.
Jetman is made up of Jetmen who are all individually Jetmen. Mans.
Right. Right.
Yes. All right.
Got it.
And I think we just answered a question that nobody asked. That
I asked.
Everyone was willing to whistle past that graveyard, but not us. Not here on the Morphin Grid.
Going deep. Got to figure that stuff out.
Yeah. If there's anything that we like doing on this show, it is diving deep into things that no one put the thought into that we did.
Things that in the grand scheme of stuff just don't matter.
Nope. So now that we're all kind of... Everyone's got a good refresher, or not a refresher, a fresher? A first-time fresher.
A primer.
A primer, that's the word I was looking for, thank you. on Jetman, I kind of want to see if we can figure out what the Power Rangers season would look like.
Okay.
Okay, so here's my very first question.
Okay.
Is that Jetman came before Zoo Ranger?
Yes.
So, if we're going to turn Jetman into a season of Power Rangers... is it going to be a season or is it going to be the first season?
This is the first question that I thought of too, is how to figure out the chronology.
I feel like it would be a season that we make now, currently in the present time, but the season itself would take place before.
So we
got to
go find
Morphin.
Some standard def cameras.
Like maybe this season is Zordon's Power Rangers.
I didn't think that. I thought this
but
was
it's also it's set to currently, so maybe that wouldn't work.
Right. I was thinking my two ideas were either this is Zordon's dry run of Power Rangers or this is Saban's first attempt. Like we figure out what Saban's first attempt at making Power Rangers would be
or
with Jetman.
We could just set it on a different planet that's like Earth, but not Earth.
In a galaxy far, far away.
Okay, so I feel like we got some options here. The version that I had been trying to think of is the version that is like, what if instead of Zordon activating because Rita came back on Planet Nemesis? Wait, it's not it was she just on the moon in Power Rangers?
They don't say, but you can see you can see the moon in the background.
Yeah, the moon is in the shot, and you're supposed to believe it's the moon. So
okay,
I don't know. Could
but,
be either.
Yeah, but they never come right out and say we're on the moon. They're just astronauts on a celestial body.
Yeah.
Okay, because I was just thinking about this because I was listening to an episode of Sailor Business before we were recording. And there was a bit in Sailor Moon with Planet Nemesis, which is like a planet that's like on this weird orbit that comes into Earth's orbit every like couple of million years or whatever.
Right.
And which is the exact same setup for Zooranger. And both of those shows came out within like a year or two of each other.
I think they came out at the same time.
So I don't know what was going on in Japan where everyone was obsessed with Planet Nemesis in like 1992.
I think here's what happens. So you know how sometimes two movies will come out at the same time? You got your Armageddon and your Sudden Impact.
Your Deep Impact.
Deep Impact.
Deep Impact.
You got No Strings Attached and Friends with Benefits coming out at the same time.
Sure.
I think what happens is someone will write an article, and every screenwriter in Los Angeles will see the same article, and they'll all make a spec script. And two
of them get made.
Two of them get sold and made, and they just happen to come out at the same time.
Yeah, because Friends with Benefits and No Strings Attached are the same
movie. It's the same movie. They came out, like, I think the same day, probably. I don't know.
It was,
like, very close to each other.
So I think what happened is, in Japan, someone in like, let's say late 1990 or mid-1990, someone ran an article about Planet Nemesis, the Sailor Moon people, and the Zooranger people saw it, and they're like, that's our hook. We got
it. Is.
And it was just like in the zeitgeist. So it was like Nemesis was just very in the zeitgeist of 1991.
Very interested in Planet Nemesis.
I guess.
From the limited knowledge about space that I have from watching TV shows about it, Nemesis, the theory of Nemesis is not a planet, but a second sun that's in a binary system with ours. That we just haven't seen yet, but it's what's causing asteroids to come around every 30,000 years or whatever.
I've always
it is
heard
that
it's exactly where Earth is, but on the it's in our orbit, but on the opposite side of the sun, so we can never see it.
Wait, no, that's Counter Earth from Marvel Comics.
That's where Spider-Man went to in Spider-Man Unlimited with the High Evolutionary.
I think so. That's also where never mind. I was going to say something about a Fantastic Four story, but it was during a really bad run, so I've tried to expunge most of it from my brain. Anyway.
That's fair.
I know that, I think Ricky Barnes, like the Heroes Reborn version of Bucky, was on Counter-Earth at some point. I'm telling you right now, literally everything I know about Counter-Earth.
Okay. Literally everything I know comes from the Spider-Man Unlimited series, which lasted 13 or 14 episodes, and I am the only one that watched it. So
nice.
I feel like that's a lot of how my references go as it applies to childhood shows.
Everything I know about it is what I just heard.
Anyway, so my thought is that if Jetman is like Zordon getting those same five teenagers to fight the Virum instead of, like, the year before, instead of getting them to fight Rita in 92-93. So just like the first season of Mighty Morphin would then just become the second season. And at the end of the first season, like, the Jetman stuff would get destroyed and they'd get, like, rebooted with dinosaur stuff.
Okay.
So I was trying to think how that would work.
My only problem,
I was thinking about it as like a standalone season that wasn't necessarily connected to anything.
That's why I was going with like Saban's dry run, because feel like you could get maybe more out of that. And also, we can still definitely have the Chief in there, which I want to just copy and paste.
Just like, absolutely just grab that person and put her in.
Except instead of like Sky Cop, like Sky Force Super Cops, and she's like, you two are going to be the best. She's like, this high schooler with attitude, I want you for my Jetman program.
Oh, I like, in Jetman proper, I like the variance in the ages and just, like, personalities of everybody. Like, I like that there's a super cop, a farmer, just like a rich lady.
Yes, she's very rich.
High school girl.
She is so rich that in one episode, she buys every diamond in Tokyo.
All of them.
That's why she wrote a 10 million yen check without even thinking twice about it.
No.
Oh, that's nothing. That's nothing
that's
just, to her.
That's pocket change. She didn't even realize, I don't think, how much more that was than what Akko
asked for. Once you're that rich, all money is the same.
She just started writing zeros and eventually got bored. Like, there you go. You figure it out.
I feel like this has been long enough. See, I think you can get the same variances if you keep them in high school. And you can get the same, like you know, maybe Akko is like a freshman and everybody, you know, some people are seniors. And Akko.
Yeah, you could definitely run age variants that way. I could be into that.
Because I'd like
to. Oh, sure. And Raita is like in 4-H. And
absolutely.
Ryu is like the football captain.
Yeah. Oh, God. Can we for 1 second talk about his amazing jacket?
Oh, Posh Boy?
But it says Posh Boy on the front. It says Sky Game on the back.
Posh Boy's got Sky Game,
Hashtag Sky Game Posh Boy.
Dude, later on, he wears like this members only like silk jacket. Like, not silk like guy's shirt, but silk jacket like a wrestler's jacket.
Like, yeah, like an Arn Anderson jacket.
Oh, God.
Yeah. And on the back, it says The Gathering of the Clans.
The Clans?
I have no idea what it's in reference to.
He's just got
a jacket that says The Gathering of the Clans.
So the costume department just like found these in somewhere, right? Or maybe
there's red on this jacket. Put it on that dude.
Good enough. Or maybe it's a thing where like they don't know what it says. They're like, oh, this is foreign. It'll look cool.
I like how. So what if our Red Ranger, just like every few episodes, he has a different sports letter jacket on.
And we're definitely flying in the Sky Game Posh Boy jacket for the big episodes. Oh,
absolutely.
Absolutely. Okay, so here's what I'm wondering then. If we're putting them all in high school, what does Guy look like in high school?
Okay, so it's 1991.
Is Guy a bully?
Yeah. I feel like he's a loner. He is the Judd Nelson from Breakfast Club of this group.
Okay. Absolutely. Except he's a little more suave than Judd Nelson.
Yeah, he's not just a straight up punker.
Right.
Like, he's like a con man.
Yeah. He drives a motorcycle.
I don't know. I mean, there weren't greasers in 1991, but I feel like that's a little more like his speed, you know?
Yeah, the 1991 version of a greaser would definitely be Guy, who could, and again, we could just name him Guy, but G-U-Y instead of G-A-I.
Right.
I think Akko, again, we can kind of personality transplant because she is super fun. Just like this horrible extortionist, and I say horrible as in bad at being one.
Right.
Yeah, she's not a horrible person who is an extortionist. She is a person who is really bad at extortion, but loves it.
Your 1991... What year did Clueless come out? That had to be 95, right? Somewhere around there.
It might have been earlier than that.
It was either 95 or 96, and I feel like it just hit its 20-year anniversary.
That sounds about right. I should remember. I was alive when all of this was happening.
I remember watching the Clueless TV show, but I don't remember what year that was. I'm looking it up.
Okay.
I'm trying to think of how old Donald Faison was in that movie.
Compared to Scrubs.
Clueless was 1995.
Okay. Boom.
This is one of my weird superpowers. Is like I know what year a movie came out, even if I've only seen the movie once in the last since it came out.
Nice.
Especially 80s movies, because there is a marked difference between 84 and 86 and 87. Like they're like every year has like this weird stank on it that you could just tell is like, oh, this is a 1986 movie, obviously.
I know when one movie came out. I know that The Matrix came out in 1999.
That changed everything. That
because like that was my for a long time. Like that was my demarcation point between like current movies and like older movies. And so I always kept it in the back of my head. Like The Matrix is now what 17 years old.
Yeah, oh, that's weird.
Yikes.
Yeah,
I remember watching that on VHS.
I used to own that on VHS. And I'll tell you, most of those effects are still good, except for right at the end. There's this one effect when when he jumps into Agent Smith and then Agent Smith's body like bubbles up and explodes.
Oh, yeah. I bet that looks like
everything else, like all of those effects hold up. They were so groundbreaking. That one looks like it was made in like roughly 1994 and they just built the rest of the movie around it.
Maybe I'm just thinking of The Matrix, but there is a image in my head of someone kind of bubbling and his head gets very big for a moment and maybe turns into a monster. And I don't know what that could be from, but maybe I don't know. But I feel like they look kind of the same.
Talking about bubbling heads, all I can come up with is Total Recall. So
no, it's definitely not Total Recall.
You got Total Recall, you got Matrix, you got a couple of Indiana Joneses where a head melts.
I don't think it's any of those. It's not important.
Roger Rabbit?
It might be Roger Rabbit.
Roger Rabbit might be it.
I might be thinking of Roger Rabbit.
Because it bubbles up, it turns into like a cartoon.
Right.
If I'm not mistaken.
Spoilers for Roger Rabbit, right. Even though we didn't say any names or anything. Which, guys, if you haven't seen Roger Rabbit in a while, go check it out. It's very good.
Yeah, Roger Rabbit's a really great movie.
To my original point, before we got on this.
How did we get here?
So we hopped in a convertible and drove away with Blair from... Blair? That's not her name. The girl from Clueless. Yeah, Clueless, from Clueless, the lead character. Yeah.
Alicia.
Sure.
Silverstone.
Whatever the 1991 version of her is. She's like a Heather from the movie Heathers, but again, a 1991. Super rich, like, say, because I feel like if Saban had Jetman, he might have been able to adapt it a little better, because in Zoolander, it's not... All the characters aren't modern. They're princes and a princess from ancient dinosaur tribes.
Like, right, yeah. That's a little tough to, like, squeeze into a high school. You really have to rework some stuff.
Yeah, but I feel like the Jetman, you can kind of see the allegories in high school.
And the weird thing about in Jetman is, like, all of the stuff in Jetman, like, you know, Jet Icarus and all of their equipment, it's just kind of, like, stuff. It's just like the stuff that they have and that they use as their like Jetman stuff. But like it gets broken all the time. Like all the time.
And the chief herself fixes it.
Yeah, they have like a big hangar bay, and like every couple of episodes, they're just like in there with like soldering irons and like welding torches, putting Jet Icarus back together.
I do want to point out, I have not seen Jet Icarus. In the first two episodes, when the chief's jet is turned into, I think they called it Fighter Dimension.
Yeah, that's the naming convention.
It's just whatever dimension.
Yeah.
The first monster is Dimension Bug. And he eats people and then like his butt comes off and makes monsters.
Oh, yeah, Energy Butt. That is not his name. We just called him Energy Butt for two episodes.
Yeah, yeah. He takes two kids like right off their bikes.
Oh, yeah.
This show is not worried about killing people.
No,
not even a little bit.
Children. Like, yeah. They killed children, which is like insane to me.
Like, it's not gory. He just absorbs them into yellow light and then... His butt gets bigger.
Like you do.
Until it eventually breaks off, and I guess they make the putties out of it?
Maybe that's the thing that makes the dimensional bugs, which are the things that later turn other things into dimensional monsters?
It is, because Raticate used one to turn the chief's jet into Fighter Dimension, who the Jetman killed... Without Zords or planes or anything,
they like shot
Ryu,
like a
Ryu just like jumped at it and slashed it, which cut like a fuel line that he shot with his blaster and blew the whole thing up.
That's why I watched episode 6. That's the first time the Megazord Jet Icarus comes about, and like the reason they have to put him together is because the monster is an entire apartment building turned into a monster.
It's just like the building has legs and stands up, and then they need to fight it. So Jet Icarus. I don't know if you looked up any pictures of it. Jet Icarus is great. He's kind of a, like, generic-looking giant robot. He doesn't have, like, as defined of a look as, say, like, the original Megazord or the Thunderzord.
Is this the combination of all their jets?
Yeah.
Yeah, but what's great about Jet Icarus is that Jet Icarus is a man made out of jets. He's a literal jet man.
It's perfect.
He is. He just looks like a man.
I think the thing I like about him is... You can tell that they are, at this point, about to experiment with Megazords. I don't know what they looked like before this, because there weren't a ton before this, I don't think. Maybe there were. I don't know what they looked like.
Okay, so the first 2 years didn't have giant robots. They had giant machines.
But there was, like, tanks and like, jets and
but
stuff.
But, like, yeah, like, Goranger and Jakku didn't have giant like a giant human-sized robot. And then there was, like, Marvel cooperated with Toei to make the Spider-Man show that had Leah Pardon, which was a giant robot. It was a car that turned into a big dude, right?
That's right. Yeah, you
he's
heard...
He's a Transformer.
You heard that right. Spider-Man had a leopard Transformer.
Yeah, I mean, why wouldn't he?
That he got from the people who gave him his powers. Anyone want to hazard a guess as to where he got his powers? That's right, the spider planet.
Yeah, Planet Spider, of course. You know, Spider-Man.
How could I have been so foolish?
Yeah,
obviously. The guy on the dirt bike?
Is this one where he got it from, like, a bracelet, like an alien bracelet?
Yeah.
Am I making that up, or is that from the show?
No, that is 100% it. An emissary from hell, Spider-Man.
So crazy.
And so after that, they brought the giant robots in I think it was Battle Fever J?
That sounds right, but I'm not 100% certain.
Which was a co-production of Toei and Marvel. Then Marvel got out for whatever reason, I don't know. And then after that, that's when it started to be Super Sentai, and the Super was referring to the giant robots.
And I feel like all the giant robots I've seen from before then are like just giant robots. Like they're just like Transformers, essentially.
Yeah, or like it would turn in, it would be a combination of like two or three things. Like one thing would be both legs, one thing would be like the torso and also the head, you know? Yeah. So like over time, it finally got to the bit where like it went full Voltron, you know? Like,
yeah.
Like each thing was its own limb.
Except, and I'm putting my foot down right here, way cooler than Voltron.
Oh, sure.
I like Voltron, but it's just five lions. Like, that's all. There's nothing super special about Voltron. It's just five lions.
Although, to be fair, Jet Icarus is just five airplanes.
Again, they do come together to make a jet man. A giant jet man.
It's very true.
But he looks like they're about to get real weird with it, and those are always my favorite. Like, anytime someone's about to make some weird decisions, like, the time before that is always like a great look because it looks real sleek. It looks unique, but also it's not like, all right, well, he doesn't have horns yet. He doesn't have like a chest piece that's a pterodactyl.
But, like, this is the weirdest regular one.
Yeah. And
it got weird later in Jetman because there are other giant robots that they get in Jetman. Like, because there's Jet Icarus, and then there's also Jet Garuda, which is the, like, it's a giant airplane that turns into, like, a bird-headed man that came over from another dimension because, like, their equivalent of the Jetmen had been destroyed by the Virum, but had, like, kind of survived and were able to escape, and they helped for, like, two episodes before they all got blown up. Spoilers for Jetman.
Yeah, that we're definitely keeping. We're definitely keeping,
I think we should keep any more footage.
As much as we can, yeah. Because
them killing the fighter jet without Zords and just, like, no big deal about it afterwards. Yeah. And then that's when Guy is like, all right, I just got my revenge on him. I'm out. And he leaves.
Yeah, like, that was literally all I wanted was to blow up that one guy.
He socks Ryu in the mouth and peels out on his motorcycle.
Like, punches him, like, 20 feet away. Like and I think if we... Like, along those lines, like, if we take it so that, like, when we're adapting Jetman, we are more faithful, then, like, that's the wrong lesson that Saban learned for Power Rangers, for, like, Mighty Morphin, is that, like, don't be super faithful. Get the Megazord in the first episode. Change everything you can, because, like, if this is, like, the failed season, but it's kind of faithful, then, like... That leads to Power Rangers being absolutely nothing like Zyuranger.
Right. Very successful, but very different.
Yeah. Here's just like my idea. Because if we want to use as much footage as we can, because that's the cheapest, right? Like it's to not film anything new, is you have your star athlete. What should we call Ryu? Anyone got a name?
Ryan.
Perfect.
Perfect. So you get your star athlete, Ryan. Probably got a cool last name. It's not Steel because I got to save that for VR Troopers.
Dude, his name could literally be Ryan Hawk.
Ryan Hawk, yes.
Oh, God, yes.
So Ryan Hawk is the star quarterback. Maybe he's like Bo Jackson, right? He's a quarterback. He plays baseball. He's on track.
He does sports. He's good at sports. He's on whatever every the sport is, that's what he does.
Yeah.
Because in high school, no sports overlap, if I'm remembering correctly.
Not anymore, but like they used to.
Because I knew kids that were just like on every, there's like soccer, baseball, basketball. They were on like all the teams.
I went to a school of 400 people. We had two teams. We had three teams and it was pretty intermingled.
We even had a golf team.
Well, that's just for nerds.
At my rinky dink little backwoods high school.
I had a graduating class of 12. So there was not like a lot going on in the school,
oh,
but
dang.
I don't, re- I do not remember there being a lot of crossover as regards seasons.
You could, if everybody was on it, you could have a football team.
We didn't have a football team. We had a soccer team. Soccer was like the big thing that our school did. Because like that was as big of a sport that we could like get people together for. Basketball and soccer.
Right. Right.
Yeah, not enough people at the school to justify having a team for football.
Right.
Right.
Probably had tennis.
Plus, your whole graduating class would have to be there. One person could miss, and that's it.
Yeah.
So anyway, he is your sports star. And the chief, who again, copy and paste, literally if that actress knows English, we'll get her. Because then you can use the scenes where she is the cavalry verbatim and you don't have to do anything.
Yeah.
And so she's like, I like this Ryan Hawk guy. I'm going to recruit him to my new Jetman project or Project J or whatever the cool 1991 American version.
This is like a government thing or is this like
yes.
a... Okay.
Yeah, it's sort of like a super science UN sort of deal, I think.
Okay.
This would be a very small scale version because she's taking high schoolers.
That's a little messed up.
Right. So I was trying to figure out how you do it with high schoolers. Because, like, I mean, Balkan Scholar Junior Policeman, but there isn't, like... But, like, I guess there's ROTC, but, like, ROTC doesn't make, like, very exciting television, far as I understand it.
I have literally, since they joined the police officer, like, the Junior Police Squad, I've been trying to figure out what... Is like what that is.
Like what is a junior police?
Because later on they are fired. Spoilers for you if you haven't gotten there in our show yet. But they become private detectives, and like that's even weirder because it's like it's not a job, but it's also not like for credits or anything.
Yeah, right. they're in high school still, but like nobody talks about it.
They only show up at the high school for like
if they're like. Bouncers.
Yeah, it's
so weird.
Wait, so they're private detectives while they're still in high school. That's like their school job.
They might have graduated. We don't know.
They never showed us if they did, but they showed us when they kicked Billy out of school for being too smart.
He was graduated early, like
he had too
forcefully
many classes.
Graduated. Yeah, he had too many credits.
Yeah, Kaplan like. Forced him out because Billy was like, "What do you mean?" He's like, "Here's a diploma.
Here's
please
a diploma.
Leave the school.
Get out of here.
Get out the door and go to space. Get out and never come back."
And he's like, "All right, fine.
Go marry a fish alien."
Does Billy marry one of those fish aliens?
We don't know the nuptial situation, but they're definitely dating at the end, in Billy's final episode. They're definitely like. Oh, he's so happy with me. He's speechless because it's not Billy because David Yost was fed up with all the crap he was dealing with and left the show.
So it was a silhouette.
It was a video of him with no audio. And then like they would cut to the reaction shot of someone trying to do a Billy impression. And then literally they kept that charade up for two sentences and they cut back to his fish girlfriend. It was like, oh, he's speechless.
They couldn't even go back through the, 200 episodes he's been in at this point and just find a line of him going, thanks, guys.
Like
paste it in.
No time.
Way too much effort.
Yeah. So anyway,
we need to. All right. We need to get on track. We need to figure out who these characters are, because I think the yellow Jetman is a little heavier set. And that comes. Across,
I really like that.
That comes across in his Birdman state. His morph.
Yes. When he is morphed.
So I feel like yellow in a high school setting is like kind of a heavier set. Nerdy kid.
Mm hmm.
Who's maybe in like the agriculture club.
Yeah.
Just like the 4-H dude who like goes after school to deal with his cows.
Right. Okay. So I have a question and like you might know, and this might have been not important enough to like take purchase in your brain. Does Rita ever, when he's morphed, does he ever do any agriculture stuff? Like there's no like him hanging out in cabbages, like defending his cabbages as when he's morphed, right?
Oh man.
Because all we know is that he picks up boulders and chucks them.
Right.
I can't remember if there's any footage of him like doing agriculture in
costume. Maybe our character is like real good at climbing a rock wall
Maybe he's just like a nerd. Like he's a catch-all 1991 nerd, which is to say like likes D&D and comics and like Star Wars. And
right.
Right, all the stuff that now is just like, oh, this is the stuff that everyone likes.
Just normal stuff, yeah. but back then it was like, throw rocks at him. And he's like, no, now I'm the one throwing rocks. now that I'm super strong.
Dude, you know what would be perfect? Is if he was just bulk.
If he was just...
Like, you've already got a big dude around.
Oh, literally Paul Schreier? Like, we
if
just
he was literally Paul Schreier.
Because Paul Schreier was in the unaired pilot. Jason Narvi was not.
He was just like a lackey. Okay. It was so weird.
But his name in the unaired pilot was Skull? Or was that the main guy? The main guy was Skull.
I think the main guy was Skull.
Like, and he might have been unnamed. But he was just a lackey with really bad hair. His hair was like Ethan Suplee's from My Name is Earl.
Okay.
Like, it was just like spiked back as if he just like was in a car without a roof and like, I don't know.
So we know that Saban already had Paul Schreier like hanging around.
They had his number.
Do something.
Yeah.
So like, dude, just call Paul Schreier.
Yeah,
you,
and he's a good actor.
You definitely want that dude in the show. He's funny. Like, he fits the build.
Yeah.
Slap some glasses on him.
Boom.
We got our yellow
Perfect.
Ranger.
Done.
So what do we call Raita? What is Raita's name? What do we... Because I don't think we have to necessarily... I think Ryan Hawk is a perfect name.
Yeah. Ryan.
Because I don't think there's a English equivalent. I don't know. It would probably be something... Like, what's it like a nerdy... Because like Billy's like kind of a nerdy
Billy's
name,
a
right?
pretty nerdy
So like
name.
Chucky? Would it be like Chucky?
No. Child's Play is
Was Child Play out then?
That's yeah,
like
it was.
That's the late 80s, I think.
I don't know. I mean,
Charlie's not bad.
Charlie, I do know a Charlie who had glasses, and we always made him be Billy because he had glasses. Yeah, so we got Charlie, your nerd. Then we'll move on to Cowrie, who I think Carrie.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Carrie, yeah.
I think
Carrie. And she's just like the rich, popular girl.
Super rich, super popular.
But like not crappy about it.
No.
Because I feel like it was always implied, but never right out stated that Kimberly had money.
Until the episode where there was the Rich Girls Club that kicked Aisha out
right.
for not making enough money. And Kimberly's like, my parents make the same amount as hers.
Okay.
So I feel like she's like, I mean, well, we don't know what her mom does. We only meet her dad the one time.
Yeah, I don't just want Carrie to be Kimberly again, but that's kind of the way I'm going.
Well, see, Kimberly was never
but I
rich
want,
snotty.
Carrie shouldn't be snotty. Should be very... oblivious about how rich she is, though.
Right, like she's paying for her milk money with like $100 bill.
She should be kind of ditzy.
Yeah, like it just doesn't occur to her that other people don't have that money.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. She's just like, oh, whatever, here, I just grabbed whatever bill was in my purse, and it's...
I hope it's enough. I didn't even look at it.
If you need more, let me know. I have more.
Just get me this tiny half carton of milk. You can have all of them.
Yeah, you can just buy this wing of the school for $100 in 1991. I don't know what the economy was like. I was a baby, so you know my knowledge of.
I was in kindergarten.
I was two. So
91. I was in first grade. Depending on which time of year, I guess.
Right, depending on which half of the year. Yeah. Yeah. I was either one or two, depending on if it was the first half or the second.
It's really easy for me to know what year I was or what age I was in any given year because I graduated in 2002. So my first grade year ended in 91. My second year ended in 92. So like it's perfect. All I need to do is just look at what actual year it was and then I know what grade I was in.
I was born in 89, like in June, like halfway through the year. So like for whatever reason, that just trips me up when I'm trying to think of how old I was in any given age. I'm like, but then you minus one, but then it's halfway through the year. So maybe it's different. So I'm just like, I was an age. I was something.
I was younger then. It's cool. We're all just making our way through this crazy thing called life.
So she's like a rich oblivious, which will play well because later on, again, spoilers for Jetman, her and Guy get together.
Yes.
And I think there's a lot of drama to be mined from
that. So
this
is definitely just The Breakfast Club so far.
It's very The Breakfast Club.
It's kind of The Breakfast Club.
Like, what if Saban saw The Breakfast Club right before he saw Jetman and was like, I got it.
Except to me, Akko is not a weird Captain Crunch sandwich girl. She's a cheerleader.
Yeah, or like a...
Because I feel like that would be the personality that I would want to put on her. That kind of, like, cockiness...
Again, I want her to extort people for money, and I want to make
that's very important. Yeah.
Yes, and I want that to be more reoccurring than I think it is in the show.
Because like they had to pay her to join the track and field team, so I feel like she's not going to do cheerleading for free.
Right. And now that she's like superpowers.
I want that same exact high jump scene.
Oh, just use that.
So maybe she's not a cheerleader. Maybe she starts off as just like, she's just hustling people for gum or something.
Right. she's got like test scores that she gives out of the bathroom. Right. Like, she has like a...
for like 50 cents.
Right.
Yeah, she's always like breaking into the teachers' rooms to like steal their question keys.
Yeah.
For the tests.
Do teachers do that? Is that a real thing?
Yeah, they have answer keys.
It was in movies.
But does it transfer over year to year? Because like I feel like they're like, oh, it's the same as last year's. We can get it.
Okay, so
I'm not a teacher. Ask Dave next chance.
I was going to say, ask my brother. About
it. Yeah.
Redacting what I said about her being a cheerleader, now she's just a troublemaking teenager. She's a freshman, yeah. So she's like 14.
Can she be Guy's younger sister?
Absolutely she can.
Yeah, I think she can.
She's also the master of unlocking. That's how she gets all the answer keys.
Obviously.
Nice.
So again, we just need a name for her. What's a good bad kid name for 1991? Because I feel like it changed. It's easy. We could just call her Jennifer because I think every girl was named Jennifer for several years.
Heather? Is that too on the nose?
I kind of want to say like Trish, but we're going to get a Trini in the next show.
Again, though, maybe that's where he cannibalizes what he can.
He can't have the whole word, so he just takes half of it.
Yeah.
Could be short for Patricia.
Right. Don't call her that.
Don't call her that.
Don't call her Patricia. She's Trish.
She's Trish. And so help you God if you call her Patricia.
She's going to do gymnastics at you so hard.
She will jump all the way over you. You won't even know what's going on. Doesn't matter how tall you are. She can clear you.
She's so good at jumps.
Then we got Guy, who I kind of just want to call Guy.
I'm down for that.
That's perfect, yeah.
Who is Trish's older brother.
I mean, it could be short for Guido, if we want it to be.
It could
That's a
be.
Nickname.
Yeah, that is true. And I feel like that's a very Saban thing to do. So he, again, is Judd Nelson, but smoother. He's like...
Smooth Nelson.
Smooth Nelson. Smooth Guy, Smooth Nelson. I feel like his character translates pretty well, but like we got to bring it down for high school. So how do we make like cigarette smoking, CD club saxophone playing guy? How do we turn that into an American high school version for kids?
Okay, well, no one is going to think that the saxophone is cool, so he's got to play like the guitar.
Right,
it's definitely an electric guitar.
An electric guitar.
Absolutely.
He's probably There's no way he's allowed to smoke.
No. It's 1991. But at the same time, I feel like there was an episode of Pete and Pete.
If this was an American comic book in 91, he could totally smoke.
Oh, yeah. He would be selling cigarettes out of the boys' room.
Yeah.
What kind of, in 1991, is he selling like pogs out of the, because those were banned in schools.
See, I feel like he is above hustle. Like maybe in his younger days, he was a hustler. And he has now passed that on to Trish.
Yeah, he taught Trish the art of the hustle. Now the he's family just cutting class.
He has
playing
to
his guitar
be...
out in his like shack in the woods.
And he's always in detention for
fighting. Not his shack in the woods. He's got like a abandoned warehouse that he hangs out in.
Yes.
Like he has like his whole like sort of pad set up in there.
Right. That he converted into a cool hangout for cool teens.
But like it's just him.
It's gonna look like every cool teen hangout from the 90s. So you got a sectional couch.
Obviously. Right.
Does his
got some
cool...
road signs up on the wall.
Yeah. On board so far.
Does his cool teen hangout become headquarters for them?
If it does, he resents it.
He hates it.
Hates it. Yes.
And he's going to fight Ryan for sitting on his couch.
Right. Maybe that's why.
Because that's his spot.
Exactly. I want the middle. That's right across from the TV.
No, he wants the whole couch. He lays down on it. He lays down like all cool.
But if it's sectional, it like wraps around, he still just doesn't want him on the couch.
Right.
Right.
There's got to be a beanbag chair.
Absolutely.
Oh, there's got to be a beanbag chair. And maybe one of those like TV chairs, like the weird ones that like don't have feet. They just sort of like rock on the ground.
And every three or four episodes, it's a different one because the last one popped.
Yeah.
Just like a loose styrofoam in the room.
Right. And then like you can tell like if we made it three more years, this would all be inflatable furniture, but we're not getting there.
Right.
We're only getting the 1 year.
And Chief calls them on a transparent phone.
I also love their morphers.
We're keeping those. Those are great.
Yeah, because kids will buy those.
The cross-changers? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the cross-changers.
Right, they'll wear them all over the place.
If I'm remembering this right, the left arm, because it's two, kind of like a Zeonizer, but the left arm is the communicator and the right arm is the actual morpher.
Yes, I think.
I think, because at one point there, somebody is...
For people who can't see this audio medium, Matt definitely just had to hold his hands out and try to cross-change to get that muscle memory.
Yeah, like I know which one is the right and left. I'm just trying to like look at myself in the like reverse camera on my screen to see if it looks right.
Because I think it's the first time Akko morphs. She's falling and Kaori maybe yells at her. It's on the right because she's trying to do it on her left one. And she's like, no, it's the right one. And
I think
she
you're
hits
right.
It.
Oh, yeah. You're absolutely right. She's falling off that like endlessly long cliff.
Which that takes place 1 second after Guy just figures it out. Because like Ryu morphs and is falling and Guy is falling. And Ryu's like, you got to change. And he's like, okay, cross changer.
I also like...
No, instruction at all.
That Ryu just has perfect aim and can chuck a cross changer onto someone's wrist from a mile away.
Yeah, which leads me to assume, like, which I think would work really well in 91, that the cross changers are actually snap bracelets.
Oh boy. Yes, they are.
They definitely are now.
Because otherwise, there's no way it would have hit his wrist like that. It's got to be a snap bracelet.
Combine that with the fact that Ryan is very good at sports. He's got perfect aim throwing the old pigskin.
Do they get their powers from a laser beam that turns them into bird people?
Yeah, I feel like again, there's a space station in the sky.
Okay.
That they bring Ryan to, and that blows up, and like, because then we can use the same footage of it, like, just being destroyed and like shooting over.
So we can have Akko in like. Or what was her name in ours?
Trish.
She could just be like in a schoolgirl outfit for some reason, so we can use the footage of that girl getting hit by the blue light.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of from behind.
That's true.
It is. I think the first time they show it's definitely from behind.
Okay. Here's how we do it. So Ryan is going to be brought up, and he says, if I'm going to do this, I got to do it with my boys. Like, this is my team. They all trust me. We can all work together. So he gets like his four closest like sport buddies,
sports
and they
brothers.
All go up to space, right? And it explodes. But instead of them all getting sucked out into the vacuum of space, they all just get like bonked on the head and they forget.
Right,
and something happens in the explosion where they are no longer compatible with the Burdonic waves.
Well, yeah, if the power goes out and picks other people, then like, sorry, we only had the five charges.
There's only five colors.
But we could also use, like, because again, it's just like a shot of like a beam hitting someone. So we could make that work because there's definitely like the teleporting is just like
and
them.
This is the only reason why our Yellow Ranger, whose name I already forgot,
Charlie
is in the agriculture club, is so we could use this shot of him farming and getting hit with the light.
Right. Maybe he quits the agriculture club after that. It's too dangerous.
It's too
like
dangerous,
it.
And like his crops got wrecked, so he's just very burnt out on it now. He doesn't want to start those sweet cucumbers all over again.
It's so tough. You got to start them from little seeds.
You know how long it takes to grow a whole row of cabbages? Longer than I'm willing to put back into this.
And giant white carrots?
He was willing to do it once.
Yeah.
Right.
I think we got a pretty good show. So there's some, like...
We got to name the bad guys.
You're right. Oh, boy, that's
We're using
be...
the same footage of them.
Absolutely.
So they're,
yeah, although,
they look the same.
Unfortunately, that means that you can't have Maria be...
I was just thinking...
She could be
like...
What if she's the chief's sister instead?
Okay.
I could be on board with that. I was going to say, like...
But there's so much footage in the show of Ryu and Maria fighting.
Is there, like, romantic undertones, or could she be... Okay, so she couldn't just be, like, his mom.
No.
Honestly, what you could do is, instead of having it be one actress whose costume changes, you can just have it become a totally different actress, I guess. Because didn't that happen one time with Scorpina?
Yes, yeah, appearance, yeah, she's just a different person.
Yeah. You could just do that, I guess.
Yeah,
I mean, just having, like, two... Okay, the problem with this is that it's a Japanese actress. And and the two options we have then are to cast it with someone of a different race, which is problematic. Or to cast it with someone else who is Japanese, which is also, like, kind of racist. Like, oh no, like it's the same person.
Equally but differently problematic.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Like there's no good angle on that.
Here's the thing though. I feel like in 1991, like Saban would have like the lack of scruples.
Oh, 100%. That's the thing. I'm not comfortable with it. But yeah, like same. 1991, I'm Saban, like I feel like he might have gone with that.
He'd be like, oh, that's so easy.
Yeah, we'll just cast another Japanese actress and no one will be able to tell the difference.
Literally no one will notice.
Yeah. And you know what? He would be right as far as children go, because like I was an idiot back then. Like I didn't, you know, I wasn't paying attention at all. Yeah. So I feel like that would happen. So we could show her like going out and it would be Maria, and then like we could kinda just get new scenes of...
Yeah, we just have to reshoot any footage of those two specifically fighting each other, I guess.
And we could give that story to the chief, who, again, is just the chief.
Right. It's literally just the same person.
Yeah. Oh, boy. And I want to, like... There's some stuff that you guys have gone over on your podcast where, like, in a recent episode where she's like, the number of men who want to marry me is incalculable.
Yeah.
I want to keep that, like, I want to, like, everything. I just want to keep as much of it as we can for the chief, because she is, like, the baddest dude in Revere.
She is the best. Like, it's a real shame that she did not turn into a Jetman.
If there was a Sixth Ranger.
Because that show would have been open in, like, 7 episodes.
Oh, for sure.
Is Boy the first Sixth Ranger,
though? Barai.
Barai? Boy is the Yellow Ranger. Yeah. You're right.
He is not the first, like, additional Ranger.
Because Jack Hugh had one, right?
Jack Hugh had one. And there might have been another one sort of like here and there.
The first like official Sixth Ranger was like a weird, was in Mask Man. It was like a weird like green robot that was like kind of the dry run for the Sixth Ranger. But Jack Hugh. That also had like additional rangers, but I don't know if that was necessarily like a Sixth Ranger or not.
Yeah.
Well, because so there was four of them, and then there was the... CMYK Ranger.
Right.
Yeah. So I think that Burai was the first one in like the unbroken stretch of like, this is just now a thing that we're doing.
Yeah.
Because right. Following Burai, I don't think there's been a season that didn't have at least one extra.
Right. And
although
now
Hurricanger was weird because it was like two teams of three.
Well, it was the team of three and then the other two Beetle Boys. I don't know what their team name was. And then there was a Sixth Ranger who maybe was on that separate team, maybe wasn't. I haven't seen Ninja Storm, and I don't know anything about Hurricanger.
I have seen, like, two episodes of Hurricanger, and then the mentor got turned into, like, a little gerbil that was talking. And it's like, I don't want to do this right now.
They
I don't
keep
want
that
it.
In Ninja Storm.
Oh, good. Perfect. Yeah. That's exactly what you want to carry over.
Right, exactly.
Right, of all the things to keep, that's the one.
So let's name these villains.
Okay, Gray can still be Gray. I feel like that's easy.
Right, and he is Gray. So, like, you know...
We're going to have to edit a lot of him smoking and drinking, huh?
Or it's a very special episode where, like, only bad guys do that.
He's a villain, so
only
maybe...
Only bad robots do that. He doesn't even have lungs to ruin.
Is he Bender?
I feel like he is a prototype Bender, yeah. We're on to you, Matt Groening. We got your number.
So Gray can still be Gray. We'll have to sort of cut around a lot of his consumables.
Yes.
We got, honestly, Maria could still be Maria.
Yeah.
I think it should be grander. I think it should be something more ridiculous.
Yeah, because like, if you go, like, because everyone's names got really descriptive, sort of, because like...
Although now we have like some dumb ones.
Well, they got dumb later.
In Dino Charge, I think one of them is just Fury.
that's the mad one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, really? The mad one named Fury? How clever.
He's red. And like an angry lion face.
His name is Fury.
Cool.
Because like Bandora became Rita Repulsa. So it's got to be goofy and like inherently negative. So I don't know. I don't know if it would be, again, maybe they didn't go goofy enough and that's what they changed for the second one.
Is she in charge or is Raticate in charge?
Nobody's in charge. They're all equal, right?
Yeah, well, sort of. Raticate sort of... Okay, throughout the course of the show, they have an ongoing contest. And whoever, like, is able to murder the Jetmen will become their new leader, right?
Sure.
Okay.
But a gentleman's agreement.
Right, but sort of within that context, like, Raticate kind of presumes himself to be the leader. Like, he very much acts as though, like, I am going to win this contest.
Right. He seemed
and
like
he is already acting as though he has, sort of, more so than the other ones do.
Because in the first two episodes, he did everything.
He was the one yelling in the sky.
He was yelling in the sky. He's the one whose giant hand came down and dropped the putties or whatever they're called.
The Grinnum soldiers.
The Grinnum soldiers, yeah.
He just dropped them out of the sky.
Which, by the way, those guys look awesome. Their faces light up. Like,
oh,
that's,
yeah.
That's great stuff. That is some good stuff.
There's one really great Grinnum soldier episode with the hairdryer monster, where he, like, sort of, like, unionizes them and, like, teaches them actual moves.
And then doesn't the hairdryer, like, go live with people?
Yeah, it turns out the hairdryer dimension did not actually want to be evil. He wanted to just, like, cut hair forever.
Oh, it's wonderful. I love
so
that.
He just, like, moved out to the countryside and became a barber. And he's, like, a giant evil hairdryer monster. It's beautiful.
Oh, boy. Super efficient at drying hair, though.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, obviously. It's his business.
Okay, so then this is what is Maria going to be called if it's got to be something, like, really...
I'm not good at this stuff.
No, yeah, and it's kind of tricky because, like, do we want to do a similar... And, like, again, maybe I'm reading into it where, like, the Rie Maria kind of phonetically similar. Is there, like, a shorter name that we can transmogrify into an evil name?
I'm gonna look up a picture of her and see if she looks like anything to me.
Okay.
Okay, well, let's think about the other ones while you're doing that. I feel like Tran... You could call Tran, like, Kid Wiz.
Okay, Wiz, like he grows up Wiz he kid. Just and he grows up into just Wiz.
Yeah, I'm Wiz now.
Yeah, like he's Wiz kid and then he grows up and he's like wizard or something.
Right. I feel like that would probably work a lot because then like there are all the scenes where he's like, what's my name? You know, and right. I'm like Transa, they could be like wizard.
And that would be amazing. Someone like very sadly crying out the name Emperor Wizard.
Emperor Wizard.
Okay, so she definitely has a black and white motif, and I get yin yang vibes from her. I don't know if you guys do.
The shape of her headdress when viewed from certain angles does give that sort of look.
The shape of her head, yeah. And her left shoulder just kind of comes up like, yeah.
And then on the opposite side she's got this one dorsal fin going down. So maybe that was what they were going for and just didn't need to explain it because they trust their audience more than Power
they all
Rangers
got it,
does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because in ours she is the sister of the chief.
Mm-hmm.
I like the idea of playing with the balance. I like motif. I don't know if that's the right use of motif. I might be.
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Okay.
Maybe
yeah.
Being Power Rangers fan film Zach, but
right.
but I like the motif of balance with her.
Right.
That she's like the bad side, but I don't want to just call her Yang.
Maybe before she was the good side.
Right.
She was like the nice sister to the chief.
Right. Because the chief is very tough. So yeah. That was like her sweet, sort of kind sister.
Yeah, who was like in the Jetman program to like help. Like she was like going to like.
So is this the same? Is she on the ship when it blows up and we lose her there? And it's kind of like the same kind of transition, but she's the sister of the chief instead of the girlfriend of the Red Ranger?
Yeah, I think we can do that.
I think so, yeah. We can use some of the footage. We can have like the arm holding, but we'd have to like cut to a reverse angle of Ryan and the chief from that. Because you couldn't have Ryu. That would, I mean, like, you could literally when they introduced Tommy as the Green Ranger, like, it's literally just a shot of Barai and like
Barai sitting up.
Just
yeah.
Sitting up. And like, you can't confuse him for Jason David Frank, no matter how hard you try.
You can see, like, wow. That whole green, like, festive, not festive, but
ceremonial
like, robes
yeah.
That he has from his tribe.
And like, his hair is totally different. And like, there's a close up of a Japanese man's face. It's like, come on, guys, just like, just a little more.
Just shoot a close-up of Jason's eyes? You
right,
can't
do
that?
You've got Jason David Frank right there.
He's on set.
He's
going to
be on
him.
That set for the next 20 years. You have enough time with this dude.
He's hanging his hat on this set. You can do this.
Is there a way we can corrupt the word balance into a villainous's name?
Okay, Balencia.
That's what I came up with. I don't know if I like it.
It doesn't sound evil.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the thing. Are there any more evil-sounding synonyms for balance?
Let's see. No. You got balance. You got, I'm sure, a whole host of other words. Everyone consult Dr. Internet real quick.
Equilibrium is a
equilibria?
Bad one.
Is equilibria too stupid?
Listen, nothing's too stupid for Power Rangers in 1991.
That is true.
Okay.
What if her name was Libby, and then it turns into Equilibria?
Yes. Actually, you know what? Yes.
Should we give her a title? I imagine in ours, the evil group has sort of adopted her. Because they find her without her memories and they brainwash because of the explosion in space. Mm-hmm. And so they brainwash her to be the evil.
Do they ever go over like how they got her? Or is it just like...
You know what? No, she's bad they now. Never really do. Like, she gets sucked out into space, and at some point, she is then grabbed by Radegat and, like, zapped with evil energy and turned into Maria.
Over the next 40 minutes, she turns evil somehow. Like,
yeah, and, like, even throughout the rest of the show, like, it becomes clear that that is what happened, but you never get a lot of explanation as to the details.
That's a little disappointing. Also, another Jetman trope we are jettisoning out the window is that when the bad guys have them on the ropes, the bad guys leave so that the good guys can get away.
Every single time the bad guys have them on the ropes, they just walk away. Like, there are so many scenes that end with the Jetmen about to die and start the next scene with the Jetmen just, like, in their headquarters talking about, like, man, that was really bad. Like, yeah, it was really bad. How did you possibly escape? You were defeated.
How did you get here? Yeah, so we're gonna try to get rid of that as much as possible. It's probably going to be a lot of weird footage and, like, voiceover that is very nonsensical.
I mean, honestly, all you need to do is find footage from one time that they successfully retreat and then just show it every single time. Because they're always fighting in the same location. Like, just get one time that they're all leaving the quarry and just show it every episode.
Sometimes you flip it. Maybe they leave from the left side this time.
Yeah, who knows? Just reverse the footage. It's all good. Nobody's going to notice. The dumb kids.
Yeah, exactly. They're just stupid idiots. I like Libby / Equilibria.
I do too.
And
I think Princess Equilibria is too much of a mouthful.
Right.
But I also don't hate it.
Well, because they're all...
Now that I've said it out loud,
I don't hate that either.
No, it sounds good.
Because they're all from the same... Well, except for Maria, obviously. They're all from the back dimension. Oh, by the way, that the back dimension has been destroyed. They've taken over.
Okay.
This is the front dimension.
Yeah, you and I live in the front dimension.
Here's a very weird thing about this. I just watched an episode of Are You Afraid of the Dark?
Sure. Okay.
It's the Super Specs episode, and they get a spell put on them. And when this girl puts them on, she can see beings from another dimension trying to come into ours and take it over. And at the end of the episode... They actually did. Like, it flips without telling you until, like, the last second.
Classic Are You Afraid of the Dark.
When the heroes that we've been following are stuck in a crystal ball in the new dimension. We're now in the new dimension watching the other versions of those kids talk about how, like, oh, they were trying to get rid of us. It was awful.
Oh, dang.
It's really good. It was really well done.
That sounds really good.
So this is almost exactly the same as that.
Pretty similar.
So I guess my question is, since they're all from the other dimension, they're all from the same dimension, right? There's only the two dimensions, it's front and back.
Right.
Or are there, like, a lot of dimensions?
I don't think that the Vyrum are from the back dimension. Because the guys who, like, brought Jet Garuda over, those were the back dimension warriors. So that was a dimension that the Vyrum destroyed. I think because at some point you see, like, pictures, like, just paintings of, like, destroyed different places.
Right.
And I think that the Vyrum have gone through a bunch of different dimensions. Like, okay. You know, they've, like, in the same way that, like, what's his name? King Mondo has already destroyed, like, a bunch of different galaxies and then he comes to Earth.
He's already taken all those, yeah. Okay.
I feel like the Vyrum have done that. Like, this is, like, the last holdout.
Right.
We are the last dimension.
We're it. So what if they're all from different dimensions? Instead of, like, whoever wins gets to be the leader, whoever kills the Jetman, their dimension gets to take this one. Like, they get to claim this one as a prize. So then we can give them all different, like Princess Maria and, like, it would be, like, Emperor Wizard later, but he's just Kid Wiz now.
Right.
Yeah.
And then there's, like, you know, like, King Radegat or whatever we come up with his name. And then, like, you know, Lord Grey or whatever. So
I love Lord Grey.
Grey or Baron Grey? I feel like those are the only two options.
Maybe he's a Baron now. with his sights set on being a Lord.
Just got to work up that ladder.
Yeah, you just got to take over this one dimension and boom, lordship.
Right, his lordship is on the line.
And that's why they're all
why he's smoking and drinking. He's so stressed out. Yes. Trying to be a lord.
It's a hard life. Interdimensional genocide is a tough business.
It's a rough gig, especially when you come up against people who are turned into bird boys.
And girls.
Bird peeps.
Bird boys, but like B-O-I.
Right. Yes, with a Z. B-O-I-Z.
Bird boys from the front dimension.
That might be the title of this episode. So then we just need a name for Radigat. And I like King something. So
let me look at him. Yeah, I don't know how to spell Radigat.
I don't think that's an easy.
He's a blue man with a head thing that sometimes turns into a bat buddy and is like occasionally vampiric.
Okay, so now I'm kind of stuck on Vlad. Like some sort of vampire motif.
But like, you gotta like Power Rangers up that Vlad. It can't just be Vlad. It's gotta be like King Vlado.
Well, he's kind of like a bat, right? Is King Belfry too stupid?
No. I don't think anything's too stupid.
Especially with this whack headdress that he's got going on.
I love that thing.
Like, what even is it? Is he like, because Maria's a yin yang. Now that we've kind of parsed that out, right? And then, like, Gray's a robot, and Tran is, like, a little wizard kid vid boy. What is this?
He's a bad guy.
He is a villain.
He's kind of got a Phantom of the Opera face mask.
He does.
It covers a spike up half on his face. Yeah. Like, what if the Phantom of the Opera was also an interdimensional vampire?
Yes. What's the Phantom of the Opera's name? And we'll try to turn that into a vampire. If Alan or Shannon were on this show, they would know in a second because they're giant nerds. You two are giant nerds. I know you're listening.
King Phantom of the Opera.
That's it. We got it. Guys, our work here is done.
Can we combine Phantom and Bat in some way?
Other than Phantabat, I'm drawing a blank.
What is some other words for bat?
The Phantom of the Opera, the character. What is, his name is Eric. All right, that doesn't help me.
Boring.
That's right. King Eric.
That's not interdimensional at all.
No. All right, I'm gonna jettison. Oh, what about like, because I just read the French version, which is like the original. It's like Fantome.
And Radigat is also spelled like a sort of Frenchy word.
Yeah. So what if he's like, you know, King Fantome or King? I like King Belfry. I think we got that one in one.
There is.
I could go with King Belfry.
The scientific name for bat is, I'm going to say this wrong, Chirotera?
Chirotera.
Chirotera.
Chirotera. Yeah, like you just said that word.
So what if he's like King Fantera.
King Belfry Fantera.
Belfry is his first name.
Yes.
Bel Fantera.
Do not call me Belfry.
He's King Belfry when he's a man, and he's King Fantera when he's in bat form. Or his bat form is just Fantera.
By the way, occasionally he does have a like straight up human form where he just is a dude with like no makeup and no headdress. That's a very strange episode, but...
That's Eric.
Then he's Jeffrey.
That's Eric.
Yeah, that's Eric.
All right, guys, I think we did it. Anything else we need to go over?
I mean, unless you want to name monsters.
No,
do
that
you
want to
name
take...
the Mooks, at least? They're bug butts. They're bug boys.
Little bug boys.
Buzzers.
Because they're all just called dimensional monsters anyway, which I feel like is a pretty... It's generic enough that you can translate it.
Which, by the way...
I mean, they would all just be dumb names, right? Like,
oh, yeah. It would
like bug dimension or whatever with his falling off butt.
It's energy butt. That's just...
Yeah, that one's energy butt. Then you got like jet dimension and then apartment complex dimension, faucet dimension.
I feel like if they named him, it would be like literally like, you know, Jet Face, Apartment Man, you know, like it would be like really bad names.
Noodle Cup Boy.
Yeah. The Hair Cutter, you know, or the Drying Destroyer.
They would just be like bad puns.
Yeah, which I am not good at making because I have tried to sacrifice that part of me as best I can. Because everyone I know is a pun monster. That's just a life that I lead. So I try to be the anchor, the bastion of safety from that. Yeah, I don't think we should go over like, you know, like, oh, what are some long-term things? Because we just follow the story. you know, yeah, with this is before Saban
decided to mess everything up, so you may as well just go for it. Just actually do the story of Jetman. The story of Jetman is very good.
It's really cool. Everything is real cool. I don't know how we would do the spin roulette of life episode unless it was like a skateboard competition instead of a...
And he tilts it to give... Who's skateboarding? Guy?
Guy, yeah.
He tilts it to give Guy just enough air to hit that 900.
To hit that 900.
Nice.
So I think that's it. I think we've done it. I think we
did it, guys. I'm very proud of us.
Yeah, I honestly didn't think that we would actually finish the... I feel like we'd be like, never mind. Let's talk about Jetman in general for a little while.
And this makes a lot more sense than the things that I was thinking before we started. Because, boy, let me tell you, it was going to be like Tommy was Radegat. And
Man, that would be so cool. Okay, we're going to have to do another episode later. All right, guys, we're going to delete this. We're going to do it again.
You guys are going to do it again.
No, I at some point you'll have to come on again. I had a lot of fun.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I'd love to come back.
I would like for this episode maybe to break the seal on guest stars. So if anyone listening has an episode of Turbo that they're very passionate about,
that could be a fun way to get through Turbo.
Get in contact with us.
You gotta get through it somehow. I'm looking down the barrel of Cocky Ranger. So
I've heard that's fine, but not as good as Dire Ranger, which in comparison is a little disappointing. But again, it can't be worse than the Alien Ranger series. So
no, and although there is a small broken part of me that wants to watch Alien Ranger, so I can see what horrible travesty they did with the beautiful Cocky Ranger footage.
I mean, it's only 10 episodes.
Yeah, everybody should watch it once, just so you can hate how dumb the Alien Rangers are.
It's so dumb.
In one episode, they need the purest water that they can find to rehydrate, and then in like maybe two episodes,
It's like five. It's like five episodes later.
They just go through a car wash and they literally say, any port in a storm.
Whereas before, they couldn't go to a lake because it wasn't pure enough. But this car wash, totally cool.
Dude, I've been to car washes. I worked at a gas station with a car wash. That is not something you're supposed to be inside of.
No. Certainly
For
not if you need pure
so
water.
So many different reasons. Very good reasons.
So, I mean, if you're gonna watch it, I would say try it. It's 5 hours straight. It was less than 5 hours. It's 20-minute episodes each, 10 episodes. I would try to get it done in one sitting if you can.
Just take a Saturday and cook through it?
Because if you stop, you might never start back up. we had to do two a week, and it was rough seas here on the Good Ship Morphin Grid for a little while.
Yep.
But we
now
did
we
it.
Have to do, now we have to do like 50 episodes.
Turbo's not that bad. I hope.
Everything I've heard about Turbo is that like there's a real tipping point in Turbo.
Yeah,
it's the crossover, or not the crossover, the changeover.
Yeah, they switch all the Rangers out except for Justin, and that's when they just go full on bananas. Like there's an episode where this is my favorite episode of Turbo, and maybe my favorite episode of television, until it was usurped by Spin the Roulette of Life. There is an episode where there are evil jackets.
Okay,
that turn you evil when you are. When they are put on you. These jackets are plaid, huge shoulder pads. They look like they're from the 80s. This is 1997.
They are designed by Ashley, the new Yellow Ranger. Yeah.
Divatox turns them evil using an evil pattern or something. Sure.
Right, but she like thought these were good-looking jackets.
Like Cassie didn't. That's my favorite part of that episode. in an episode that I literally love unabashedly, Ashley asks Cassie, do these look good? And Cassie's like, no, these do not.
No, these are bad.
It's awesome.
You've done a bad job. You done screwed up.
You did a bad job. At one point, the bad guys fly in a Megazord-sized jacket to put over the Blue Centurion's robot. The Blue Centurion is a robot who himself had a jacket put on him. He has sirens for shoulder pads, so this jacket is enormous.
That is amazing.
It is the greatest thing ever.
And then there's an episode where they get baked into a pizza.
Which is also amazing.
And they're like, if I'm remembering it right, and it's been a while, but they're just like a little bit covered in cheese and just like flopping around like, oh no!
There's like a pepperoni.
We're in a pizza, this is awful.
So yeah, maybe you should come on for some Turbo episodes.
Yeah, let me know. Let me know when you're getting to one of those ones.
Yeah. Oh God. Because it's I'm gonna have fun with it because I know it's bad, and
I'm gonna have fun with it so that hopefully I can not be just a grump for 50 episodes of our podcast.
Anyway,
just have a bad like 6 months.
Yeah. Oh, that I don't wish that on anybody to listen to.
I think I'll have fun.
Yeah.
That'll be great. You guys will have fun with that, I'm sure.
I think so. So Matt, before you leave, tell everybody where they can find you on the internet.
Oh, my podcast, as I said before, it's on iTunes, it's on Stitcher, it is maybe on other platforms as well, but I don't deal with that stuff, so just Google it. It's called The Super Sentai Brothers. We are currently just wrapping up season 2, The Jetman with the Golden Gun. We are, I think, about to do episode 45, and there are 51 episodes of Jetman, so that's where that is. I am on Twitter at Super Sentai Bros, where email address is supersentaibrothers@gmail.com, and I think that's everything.
I think so. You do say that the same. You do the same thing we do, where you have like a pre-programmed. This is how I end the show.
And I don't have it in front of me, which is why, Matt, I know I've got an email address. What the heck is it?
I have done the Morphin Grid sign off literally 200 times, and we do it in the beginning of the episode too. So like, I can literally in my sleep upside down. Like if I was in a plane crash and you're like, hey, are you okay? I'd be like, morphingrid.tumblr.com is our website. Like before I remember my name, I will be able to tell you where you can find the Morphin Grid on the internet. You'll get there is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But I definitely recommend it. Episode 45 should be going up tomorrow because this is going up on Monday and it usually goes up on Tuesdays, right?
Yeah, I think this week's episode is going to be called The Demon Robot Veronica. Unless that was last episode.
That was the last episode.
That was last episode. I think this next upcoming one is The Hot Milk of Victory.
Oh, boy.
What a title that is.
If we just get like Rita's Pita.
That's a good one. That's maybe my favorite.
We've all got our own stuff to deal with, man.
Right.
Got a great joke before that episode. And the episode before that one.
You ruined a good episode before that one.
I didn't ruin anything.
Anyway.
I turboed it.
Well, thank you so much for having me on. It was a lot of fun.
Definitely. I had a ton of fun. I'm glad you could come on. I'm glad we could do this. Because I was on about 4 weeks ago. And I was like, you should come on, but we're about to end, which means that we go on hiatus and we do these weird bonus episodes. I'm like, well, that would be kind of perfect because we can kind of do whatever for that.
Yeah, and I hope that I have not kept you guys on for too long, even though we have been recording for...
I got an hour and 50 on mine.
Yep, 1 hour, 50 minutes.
It's not our longest episode. Maybe this will be a two-parter. Maybe this will be split in two. So, again, thank you for coming on. That speech I was talking about earlier, morphingrid.tumblr.com, is our website. You can email us at littleidiots.morphingrid@gmail.com. We're on Twitter at morphingrid. We're on Facebook at facebook.com/themorphingrid. We're on iTunes. We're on Stitcher. We're on Google Play, but it's a mess over there. That's the back dimension. It's been destroyed. Don't go there.
Been destroyed before it even got started.
Before it even got on the ground.
Just a wasteland. I've got a Tumblr with one post, so I know what you mean.
Right. Our Tumblr has not updated in 6 months, which I'm hoping to do that. It's a lot of work.
All I need from you are episode pictures. So.
If I do those, I might as well go whole hog. Anyway, right. If you want to leave us a rating and review, that would be great. We'd appreciate it. And we'll read it on the show and love you forever. Also, we are on Patreon, patreon.com/HeyJakeAndJosh, if you go there, you can kick a couple bucks our way every month, and in return, you get some cool stuff. You get commentaries for random Power Rangers episodes, and soon we're going to be doing 5-episode chunks, or maybe if you monsters have decided that we should do them individually, episode-by-episode recaps of 5 episodes at a time of Tattooed Teenage Alien Fighters from Beverly Hills.
Oh!
So that's a pretty good reason.
I think I voted for individually.
I think I voted for all at once.
Because I did not want to watch that show for 2 hours and then talk about that for another hour.
See, I'm a pull on bandit off quick kind of guy, so we'll see what happens. We'll see how it shakes down. Whatever the poll says,
right.
It's probably over by the time you hear this. But yeah, that's all on patreon.com/HeyJakeAndJosh. Thank you guys for listening. So until next time,
may the power protect you.
So, oh, this is a sidebar, but I was thinking of a character who had like chaos powers, like a superhero that had chaos powers. And I was like, in some universes, his name is like whatever it is. In others, it's Murphy Lawson. And that's the and I don't know which is better.
Murphy Lawson is fantastic.
I think that's the way to go with that.